And welcome to Wrestling Witch Face, your one-stop haunt for all things spooky, bitchy, and more. I'm Grant Jacoby.
I'm Bailey Bennett.
And we're back at it with another little bitch.
Yeah.
Little bitch featuring your stories. What?
You're just talking very weird today.
I don't know.
And I love
like
it.
To mix it up.
Yeah, no, that's nice. Let's do an accent the whole time.
All right. So we're going to be telling you your stories. Because they're sometimes a lot more interesting than ours.
Yeah. As always, I need to add the disclaimer that some of these stories are so... You sent them so long ago, and you guys were the best, and you send us, like... Some of you send, like, the longest, most well-researched shit, and we're just like, okay, maybe we'll get to that in, like, yeah. 9 months. We're the worst. So some of these are very old, but thank you so much for anyone who sent them in, and I'm sorry if we don't read your story today. But... Also, I left in all the parts where they praise us at the beginning. Just I need a little boost.
A little
here we go. The story is from a listener named Sam. I don't know the gender of this person, so I'm just going to say they.
Whatever.
So they say, I am an avid listener of your podcast. I cannot get enough of your banter, humor, and all the spooky shit you deliver. I wanted to tell you guys a story about something terrifying that happened to me when I was hanging out at a local lake with my friends and brother when we were kids. I emailed you a long time ago to express my love for your podcast, and I wish I had told you the story earlier, but I definitely repressed it. My brother reminded me all about it the other day. All right, so I am 100% convinced this lake is haunted because there is an abandoned, boarded-up house right on the water. It is beautiful, but old and obviously mad creepy because it is no longer inhabited. Unfortunately, the previous owners both drowned in the lake when their dog went out onto the ice and fell through. Oh, they tried to rescue him, but unfortunately they both died in the process.
Oh,
that
no.
is terrible.
Yikes.
Okay. I don't recall exactly when it happened, but it was within the last 10 years, according to my grandfather, who knew them through a friend. Okay, so that sucks a lot, but it never deterred my friends and I from taking a walk at the lake because it's beautiful aside from that. And honestly, the creepy house drew me in, too. Nice. We were children, and my mother always warned us about staying away from the property, definitely because of weirdos who like to hang out in abandoned buildings, and not ghosts, but whatever. We never listened. The property is not hard to get to because there are trails all around the lake, cross a little stream, and you're in their yard. The first time we went, nothing weird happened, except we found a marked grave. I don't think anyone was buried there. It was probably a memorial, but it was still pretty creepy. There was a very crushing, eerie feeling in the air, but I wasn't going to be the wimp of my friends. The house is very old and had a beautiful second floor porch that wrapped around and met up with the backyard because it was on a hill, so it was really easy to stand up there, which they wanted to do. So we were standing on this rickety porch admiring the view of the lake when we heard noises from inside. My mind jumped to serial killer, but my friends assured me it was probably an animal. My friend knocked on the wood over a window, and we heard three distinct knocks back. Whether it was a ghost or a real person in there, I don't know what is worse.
Yeah, I was literally about to say, like, which is worse, like, that it's a ghost or that there's a legit person. Like,
yeah.
Fucking with you. Ooh.
Don't know. So we started to run around the porch to get down and run the fuck out of there when we saw three colonial people standing by the grave down by the water.
No.
No more than 50 feet away. There were two children. One was maybe 5 and the other was probably 12. The other person was a woman who I remember the most clearly after talking about it with my brother again. She was tall and wore a bonnet and a full-blown colonial-style dress. They stood there and stared us straight in the eyes. We were in shock for what felt like minutes, but we hauled ass out of there in a few seconds, I'm sure. The worst part was right before we continued running to safety, the woman tilted her head slightly to the side and waved, like with her entire arm. That's honestly so much worse. A full arm wave. I can't think of anything more terrifying.
Yikes.
Oh my God. It was not a violent gesture, but it was almost like, hello there, come here, why don't you? And we were like, fuck that. We weren't that stupid.
No, ma'am.
So then I remember booking it. I don't think I have ever run so fast in my entire life. I don't think we stopped running until we made it home. I hope you guys found this story spooky. I've gone to the lake since then, but never ever to that side. I went yesterday and looked across the water at that house and wondered what the fuck was that. I don't know if I would prefer it being ghost or some freaks dressed in colonial garb scaring children. Keep up the good shit, you guys. I look forward to hearing future episodes. You rock.
Oh my God. That's so
That's
terrifying.
So creepy. I love that.
That story rocks.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. All right. This next one is from Chelsea. And she says, hello, I am a ghost tour guide in downtown Memphis. I love my job and have done it on the side for about 2.5 years. Do it on the side, damn.
Wow, get that hustle.
Yeah, get that bread. The last stop has been featured on Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, etc., and is always our most popular stop. It's Ernestine and Hazel's, which was recently voted the most haunted brothel in the nation.
Ooh.
There's a lot of different rumors and ghost stories, the most relevant being the woman who was pushed down the stairs by her lover after falling pregnant.
Oh, no, we don't like that.
The most haunting story, however, is the one about a woman being tied up and tortured in her room who ultimately committed suicide.
Oh.
On this most recent Tuesday, I had a ghost tour and knew that Ernestine and Hazel's had been closed to renovations for the past week. We got there and noticed there were a lot of cops, and I assumed there had been a break-in. We went to the other side of the building, and I showed them the window where the woman who was pushed down the stairs is allegedly often seen. A man noticed some movement and captured the first photo that I've attached.
Oof.
I was absolutely floored, and one family was so upset they called an Uber right then and left. The entire rest of the stop, everyone kept complaining about feeling watched and sick.
Oof.
Fast forward to tonight, which was the next day, when my friend sent me a link from the local news saying that the police were there because the construction people had found bones in the wall.
Oh my God.
Bones. In the wall.
We just talked about this last week.
Jesus. Literally, while we were there talking about the ghost, her bones had probably just been taken. Because it was a brothel and no one wanted to go to jail, a lot of crimes in the building went undocumented. There's no telling whose bones they actually were, but they were testing. But they're testing them as we speak.
Oof.
I'm so spooked out, and I'm worried about the spirits may think I'm disrespectful. Still, at least I got to send a bones in the wall story.
Nice.
Wow. Ooh.
Does
she have, do we have an attached photo?
Somewhere. I'll show it to you after.
Okay, great.
I don't have it up right now.
Perfect.
But I love that. That is such a cool, I love that she's a ghost tour guide on the side. What a dream.
What a gig.
Yeah. Okay. And this next story is from Paulina. She says, hey, bitches, I just need to fangirl for a moment and tell you guys how much I adore your podcast. I just found it this summer and I have devoured all of your episodes on my daily commute. You guys are funny as hell and everything I could ever want in bitchy, witchy friends.
Mm. Oh,
thank you. That's so sweet. So I have a hey that scared the shit out of me for you guys. I also realized that we haven't done a hey that scared the shit out
in
of us.
Years.
In It's been 20 years.
Haven't been scared.
So she said, this happened about 10 years ago when me and my two best friends were in high school. On this particular Friday night, my parents were out of town for the weekend, and they let me invite my two friends over to keep me company. As sometimes happens when teenage girls get together and harness their witchiness, creepy shit started to go down. Hell yeah. The evening started off cozy enough. It was raining outside, so we lit some nice candles in the living room, put pizza in the oven, tubs of ice cream in the freezer, and had the Disney movie Ratatouille. It's actually Pixar, but we'll let it slide. Playing in the background while we chatted. Incredible film.
Never seen it.
Oh, Grant, a rat can cook, okay?
I know you can.
I should probably quickly explain the layout of the living room for this story. There were two sofas facing each other with a coffee table in the middle. One couch was against the wall with a window facing the street, and the front door was directly next to this couch. The TV was on the wall perpendicular to the one with the window between the two couches. Okay. I can kind of picture this.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, we were hanging out, talking about school and boys and nothing too exciting in particular when one of my friends suddenly interrupts to ask if I still have tarot cards. When I tell her I do, she asks to see them. We love. Not totally weird, just a random suggestion. I go and get them from my room, and when I come back to the living room, my friend who asked for the cards is sitting on the floor with her back against the couch. My other friend is laying on that couch. I hand her the cards and I take a seat on the other couch and go back to watching the movie. So she starts looking through the cards rather normally. At first, I thought she was looking at the artwork or something. Suddenly, she starts rifling through them really quickly and me and my other friend exchange a what the fuck glance. Almost as soon as she started going through the cards super quickly, she stops and drops the cards and stares intensely at the candle on the coffee table. We're starting to get a little weirded out at this point and I ask her if she's okay. She doesn't answer and just keeps staring at the candle. I ask her again if she's okay and what is she doing, and she suddenly snatches the lighter that I used to light the candle and turns around to face my other friend, and she starts trying to light her on fire. Okay. By this point, me and my other friend are yelling at her, asking her what the actual fuck she's doing. My apparently flame-retardant friend jumps over to my couch as she's terrified of getting burned. Up until this next point, I thought my card and candle-obsessed friend was pulling a really messed up joke on us. It was close to Halloween and all. But no, she stops with the lighter and starts laughing the creepiest laugh I've ever heard. If I had to describe it, it was somewhere between a cackle and a squeal. Then she suddenly stops and is super still and quiet and stares off at nothing. After a few minutes, she gets up hastily, like she's in a hurry, and runs to the door and fiddles with the locks, trying to get it open. Once she does, she runs outside in the rain and down my driveway until she reaches the street. Because my driveway is on a hill and rainwater was flowing downstream, she reaches the street and crouches down and puts her hands in the water and just stares at it. Me and my other friend are still inside the house, and we went up to the door to see what she was doing. We didn't know what to do. Should we leave her outside? Should we go get her? And she was acting super freaky. Eventually, we decide she's probably safer inside the house, and we go out and get her. When we reach her, she's in a docile state, no longer acting erratically. We guide her back inside the house. On the wall facing the front door, there was a huge oval mirror hanging on the wall. When she walks in the house, she slowly walks over to the mirror and stands in front of it and just stares at herself. We continued trying to talk to her, but she's still not responding, and after a few minutes, she calmly walks over to the empty couch and lays down. She was soaking wet from being in the rain, so we cover her in blankets. Soon after, she fell asleep, and me and my other friend were beyond freaked and wondering if we should call her mom or a priest or someone better suited than two 16-year-old girls. Not 20 minutes later, she wakes up and is completely back to normal. She starts asking us why she's wet, why we're acting scared of her, and what's going on. We ask her, "Don't you remember anything you just did?" And she replies that the last thing she remembers is asking to see my tarot cards. We interrogate her, hoping for an elaborate joke, but what just happened was way too difficult to wrap our minds around. Still, she insisted she didn't know what we were talking about, and after all that, we believed her and still do. She had never before nor after acted like that. So we tried to brush off the incident, finished watching Ratatouille, and slept not a wink that night. Oh, Ratatouille is ruined for these girls. Yeah.
Yikes.
It still gives me the creeps thinking about it, especially the Twilight Zone factor of a Disney movie playing in the background while all of this happened. God. Sorry for the long email. Hope you enjoyed my terrifying tale half as much as I enjoy listening to you guys. Oh my God. That is very crazy. I don't really know what to make of
that. Yeah, that is, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are all okay and that your friend is okay. I hope nothing like that's ever happened again.
Oh boy.
Wow, I really can't wait to use my tarot cards again.
Yeah. Maybe it's a combination of tarot and Ratatouille.
It's got to be that.
It has to be.
Yep.
All right. This story is from Jessa. Hey guys. So I recently started listening to the podcast. I'm on episode 23, and I have to tell you both how much I enjoy it. I know you're way further than that by now, but I felt compelled to share with you because it's easily become my favorite one. Followed by Buffering the Vampire Slayer is a close second.
Thank Hell you. Yeah.
From the first episode, you guys were on a Buffy tangent. I was hooked.
Thank God.
So all the praise to you both. Cheers to you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if you still ask for ghost stories. We do.
I don't even know when you said this. I'm sorry.
And this doesn't have a ghost exactly, but it involves murder, cannibalism, haunted objects, and witchy stuff. It felt on brand. So here it is. Okay.
Yeah.
As a fellow lover of spooky things, I made it a point to visit as many of the Wiccan shops in New Orleans when my husband and I visited last year, in addition to the Museum of Death, which I definitely recommend if you're visiting NOLA. So we visited one shop in particular, and at first it's just like all the other shops. They have crystals, herbs, tarot cards, magic pendants, and more. We were looking around, and then the lady at the counter asked if we want to visit their haunted room. My husband and I meet each other's gaze, and he gave me that, "Go ahead, I know you want to look." We happily accepted, paid the $10 entry fee, and were told to wait with a few other people who are going to join us. By the time we're ready to go, we've realized we've we're taking the tour with two other groups, a mom and 10-year-oldish son, along with a mom, dad, young son, and an aunt. The child in the second family was probably five or so. I don't have kids, so I'm bad with ages. And I was instantly worried about doing the haunted tour with a kid so young. Mm-hmm. We walked up to a small apartment above the shop and asked to look around. It was a one-bedroom apartment with a small kitchen and bathroom. The place was dilapidated. The fridge was open to reveal a brown interior. Ew.
Oh my God.
All the appliances in the bathroom fixtures had a brown sheen. Why is there so much brown?
Ew.
Maybe just rust mixed with not being cleaned for years. Among the makings of the unclean apartment were also a few random objects you could tell the shop owners had added for a little extra spook factor. Some dolls, that kind of thing. After a few moments, the tour guide asked if we could feel a kind of energy in the room. Unfortunately, the only thing most of us were sensing was annoyance. The five-year-old child was running around screaming in the room, making it pretty impossible for anyone to focus on any kind of energies around us. The mother of the screaming child said she felt something in the room, but the rest of us shook our heads no. We were then told the story of Zach Bowen and Addie Hall because we were standing in their apartment. In short, Zach had been in the military, and after leaving, he met Addie in the French Quarter of New Orleans. The couple was one of the few who decided to ride out Hurricane Katrina, and due to this, they gained some media attention. The couple decided that surviving the storm was a sign that they should stay for good. Then things got bad. The two 28-year-olds got into a fight on October 5th, 2006, in their apartment on North Rampart Street above the Voodoo Spiritual Temple. Zach ended up strangling Addie in the bathtub and then proceeded to cut her into pieces.
Oh, no.
Some of her was cooked on a pot on the stove.
No.
The same stove we were standing a few feet away from, and the rest of her body was placed into the fridge.
No. Ugh. No.
Again, this was the same fridge we could clearly see from the living room where we were standing.
Oh, God.
The stories differ here, but the one we were told was that Zach then went to a tall building in New Orleans and jumped off. Mm. Upon investigating, the police found a note in his pocket detailing the things he'd done to Abby.
Oh, God.
Addie. Addie. They found the scene in the apartment afterwards. I'm a pretty spiritual person. I believe places can have energies. When something evil happens in a place, I believe it can leave a mark. Duh. Have you seen the movie The Grudge? Anyone? I don't think we're normally susceptible to those evils latching on. But I also think the child running around screaming and making everyone in the room tense is enough to create an opening. Mm. Also, can I just add that the shop could have been a little bit more upfront about the haunted place you're visiting, haunted in quotes, because the site of a gruesome murder is a little different than a haunted house / museum as advertised.
Yeah.
Anyway, we followed the tour guide back down the stairs to the museum portion of the tour to a room behind the shop. There was a giant Ouija board drawn on the floor.
What is this place?
I would like to go. There was a table with a crystal ball and tarot cards, and there was a large china cabinet filled with objects. There were dolls, photographs, skulls, and various other odds and ends. We were told that all the items were possessed, but that the staff of the shop did their best to protect guests from any power the objects had. As we explore, the child is yet again screaming and running around with no form of discipline from his parents. I was mad, my husband was mad, and the energy we were putting off was not positive, to say the least. I didn't like the way we left the shop, but my husband insisted we get out of there ASAP. I wanted to regain a sense of calm within the shop before leaving, but we left. He was ready to get out of there, and he doesn't share my beliefs. The rest of the trip, I pushed the shop, Zach and Addie, and the haunted objects from my mind. The experience faded, and I didn't think much of it anymore. I'm not really one to have nightmares over scary movies or haunted houses. Once it's over, and we were only in New Orleans a couple more days. But when we got back to Birmingham, Alabama, the shop re-entered my mind. On our first night back, I woke up several times during the night, scared and shaking. Visions of the haunted objects filled my mind, and there was a feeling of dread overtaking me. Joe, who I have to assume is her husband, mm-hmm. seemed to have trouble sleeping too, but he told me he was getting used to our bed again, as well as sleeping with our two big dogs.
Oh.
So I didn't mention the shop or the haunted objects. It wasn't until the morning that he admitted he woke up several times with the same feeling of dread, thinking about that shop and the haunted objects. He felt like something was there with us. We thought something followed us home from New Orleans. It's like fact checking.
Good boy.
We thought something followed us home from New Orleans, so I drove to our local Wicca shop, books, beans, and candles, and bought some sage. I cleansed every wall in the house from top to bottom, and we never felt the presence again. I still won't go back to that shop.
Wow. A lot nice. Going on.
I feel like that's like really all of the, you ran the gamut of cursed things.
It's really interesting how she says like, well, first of all, the fact that it's advertised as like, ooh, like a fun, like spooky haunted house, when it's like, no, it was just like a couple killed, like
just a crime scene
from like a few years ago. like, and being like, this is where her body was cooked on the stove. Like, what the fuck?
What the actual fuck?
And then it's also really interesting how she says, like, how she talks about the child screaming so much of him, like, that being enough to, like, upset the energy there.
Yeah, which don't bring your kids to haunted houses. That's,
I mean, ooh. Don't bring your,
I mean, don't
5-year-old child to a murder. Don't have kids. That's the end. Okay. And then we just have one more to end on. And I know for a fact that we've had this email for a while, and I do apologize. This is from a listener named McKenna, and she says, hi, I just wanted to start out saying that I absolutely love the podcast and it always makes my day better when I get to listen to you guys. Thank you so much. Also, I'm the one who DM'd you asking for the email address when my lazy ass could have looked in the Instagram bio. Don't worry about it.
It's all right.
She says,
you're in good company.
I know. Seriously. Lazy people here. She says, I wanted to tell you all about a missing persons case concerning my cousin, Lindsay Baum. Lindsay went missing in the summer of 2009, a couple weeks before her 11th birthday.
Oh my God.
My family is from Northwest Tennessee, but Lindsay and her family had moved to a small town in Washington State with less than 2,000 people, which you would assume is safe.
Don't trust a small town.
I know. On the night of June 26, 2009, Lindsay was walking one of her best friends home and vanished in the middle of this small town before ever making it back to her own home. She has not been heard from since that night. Because I'm from a small town, it strikes me as unusual that no one noticed a young girl being taken in the middle of town. This has always made me believe that it was someone Lindsay knew or was at least comfortable with, which is very unsettling. However, it's been 10 years and the search for Lindsay has ended, but a new one has begun. That being the search for the person or persons responsible for her disappearance and death. There has never been any arrests made or hardly any progress in this case. Around last September, human remains were found in a remote hunting area in eastern Washington. And because our justice system is kind of shitty, it took several months for the FBI to actually test these remains to see who they belong to. That's insane.
Jesus.
That's so hard for the family. As it turns out, they were in fact Lindsay. After the remains were found and identified, Sheriff Rick Scott of Grays Harbor County has declined to answer any questions about what led investigators to believe that she had been killed, and he also declined to share where the exact location she was found is.
What?
Oh, boy. The last few months, nothing has happened, and I'm heartbroken to think this might become a cold case with no answers for me or my family. She says, now I'm absolute trash at writing or telling a story, so I've attached a few articles that will better explain her case if we all are interested in reading and learning about her. And that's all she included. Okay, we need to read the articles.
We do.
McKenna, I'm so sorry that happened to your family, and I thank you for sharing. I wish that there was something we could say or do. We've talked about this so many times that the justice system doesn't work as it should so often. And it, you know, sometimes it's hard to say why the police aren't allowed to share certain information. Like, of course they need to do their jobs, but you know, we don't know enough details about this case to know why that might be happening, but all we can hope, I mean, obviously, as I said, you sent this a while ago. I don't know if there's been any developments since then, but you are, definitely are in our thoughts, and we hope that your family gets some kind of justice and some closure for this.
Yeah, seriously. Oh man.
Yeah, that's,
well,
it's just, sorry, it's tough note to end on, but I thought it was important to share because McKenna wanted to share that with us.
And I'm thank you for sharing that with us, and all I can hope is that the police are doing their job, I guess, and that you'll know more. It's just like fucked up. It's like you can't even like know like where or like how or why, like,
yeah, why they thought to even look there. Like it implies,
sounds like they're
it
like
implies that they know more that they But okay. Well, anyway, thank you guys so much for sharing your stories with us as always. Unfortunately, this will probably be the last stories that we'll share on this podcast for now.
I know.
But you know, send them to us if you have them. Like, we still love to read them, and you never know when we might be able to share them in the future. But thank you everyone who sent these in. They're always like so thorough and well researched, and I'm just like, oh wow, like we actually don't try at all. So
I've said it before, I'll say it again, that like the best stories are the ones that like happen to you and like happen to the people you know, and not just like what you read about online, like what you know journalists have published. It's like the stories that like don't make it,
right,
that are like the best. So
totally. Thank you guys for being the best. So yeah. Until next time.
Bye, bitches.